Jeez. I had lots of time until I didn't.
Yeah, me too. Funny how
Yeah,
that
she's like,
works.
oh, Miss Gail's there. Oh, I gotta come back over here and get in your lap.
Hi, Mr. Magic.
Yeah.
How are you?
He went, he decided, well, I needed to take him out. And then he decided, like, oh, it's not as hot out here as it has been. I want to stay outside. And then when I sit down here, I realized we didn't have a link. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay.
Hi, you want to come say hi? They had a bath yesterday and they're extra fluffy. You look very alert, Mr. Magic. Yes.
He said, I'm faking it. It's time for my nap.
Oh.
Yeah,
Come on, want to say hi? Say hi. Magic would love to see you. And he'd be huffing, but you want to come say hi to Kate? Come say hi to Kate.
William.
Come on, you're halfway there. Oh gosh, poor little bear. I hit his head with my chin.
Oh no.
Want to say hi?
Where is
Say hi
he?
to Magic. Is he huffing?
No, he's just watching.
Course, the face hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
But I guess the face isn't going to, huh? You just wanted to sniff on my desk and see what was there that you could get into? Is that it? Yeah.
It always surprises me when I'll be doing something on my computer and some kind of animal thing will come up that's a video. And he's sitting over here, and I didn't even know he's awake. And then he starts to huff and puff, because he's watching what I'm doing. The other day, I was doing something on the Zoom. And so the big picture was of me, and he was sitting here in my lap watching. And when I turned it off, he looked at me like, well, where did we go?
Come say hi. Come say hi.
Ooh, look, there's William. Look how handsome he is. And he's giving her all those kisses. No, he's not huffing and puffing at all. He's just watching. That's good.
Yeah.
He recognizes.
Do you recognize magic? Do you? I don't know. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, he's calm. He's calm. Look at Williams looking out
Makes
the
me hard.
window.
Yes, I love you too. I do. You're a good
Oh,
boy.
now he's gonna huff. Oh, yeah,
Okay.
because he was turned around and started kissing you. Yeah. Mad she doesn't belong to you. Yeah. Mouth's open. Oh, he got down. She's safe. No more kisses.
What does the mouth open mean?
Because he was huffing.
Oh.
His mouth is open, he was huffing. But I did learn the other day that he can swallow with a toy in his mouth. Wow, didn't know you could do that. He's like, I'm very talented, Okay, so how are you doing today?
Well, I am doing my best to stay calm with a bunch of things to do because my company's arriving tomorrow afternoon, and but I'm getting a lot. I've already done a lot of things, so we're on the way.
Okay, good. Is Carrie going to stay with you?
Yes. Yeah, she will.
Okay.
And we got approved for the branding, and we'll get our logo within a couple weeks.
Oh,
So I
great.
finally got the application in, and she got right back to me with "Welcome to the branding program." So I still have to watch the video and answer the questions that show that I've actually watched it. And Reverend Carey said that she would watch it so that we could discuss it. So, hi, Mary.
So
So.
what does the branding, what does that look like? What did they, I know they make a logo for your website, right? But what else do they do?
Well, they want you to use the colors that you already set. We set up with those colors. So if that weren't it, then that's what we would do. And I need to read the branding manual again and see what else. We're not particularly active in a lot of the things that a lot of churches do yet. So it'll just be sort of a reference as we grow, I think. But
Okay.
I don't remember if there's any guidance on Facebook, but I should, now that we're in the program, I should ask her if there's guidance for Facebook.
Did you guys learn how to get your account on Facebook?
No, I have
No.
not pursued that at all.
Okay.
I've got
Okay.
to do the agenda for Saturday, and I'm still supposed to order the laptop, and I haven't done that yet. But I got the branding manual in, so far nobody's n seems to be angry with me. So that's a good thing.
Okay, so as far as you said, you're trying to stay calm with everything that you have to do.
And so far, it's
So,
okay.
well, when you think about all those things that you have to do you start to feel an anxiety or a pressure or resistance energy in your body?
I
What do
really
you?
did this morning when I woke up, but it was like all these things. But a few minutes snuggling a little dog and some breakfast and my hour at the craft table. Always
Your
helps.
meditation,
Yes,
your
my morning meditation.
crafting
Creative
meditation.
meditation, yeah.
Okay. So, well, you were aware of it right away. You took some steps, you changed that, and now you're feeling calmer and more peaceful. Okay. And do you have a plan to execute the things that have to be done, or is that just kind of hanging out there?
I have this afternoon. I need to tidy the kitchen a little bit. Thankfully, the living room, dining room are pretty good. Tomorrow, I will go out and cut roses. And my housekeeper comes, so I won't have, I mean, I'll be able to work while she's here, but it also limits what I can do. But I think I'll be fine with everything. I may or may not do the I may or may not do the order the laptop, but it would be nice to be able to report that it's on order. I've got the dog sitter lined up for Saturday to come and have lunch with them and let them out. So that'll be good. That fell into place last night. I did three or four loads of laundry yesterday, and I have two more that I want to do, and then I'll be completely caught up. And I didn't get to the grocery store. I was thinking last night, well, I could have gotten a couple other things, but I think I have everything I need, so.
Can you have things delivered from the grocery
Yeah,
store?
I could, but I went to Costco Tuesday and picked up, there's just a couple things that I didn't think of, but I have other things in the freezer that are fine, so.
Okay. So just, but keep that in mind if you feel like you're running out of time for whatever, that if you can order things and have them delivered, it's well, depending on where you're ordering from, there may be no fee for the delivery, and then you can tip the driver, and
Yeah,
like
we used to order from Safeway quite a bit when Michael wasn't doing well. And I think if you ordered, I don't know, it was $75 then, it's probably 150 now, but there was no fee.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to go to the grocery store myself, but the heat index is like 100,
Oh, man.
and I just don't, I don't want to get out in that. And yesterday, well, we have to be aware of what our bodies can handle. You just have to be aware of that. And mine doesn't acclimate to the heat very well. Never has,
Me either.
So, being aware of that, and then taking the steps, whatever it takes to manage that, makes it so much easier for us. So, did you have any time to look at those feelings of perfectionism and trying to, that we talked about last week? I think that we had a name for that, maladaptive perfectionism, where we're overprocessing and overthinking things and trying to get it right the first time, and life just it doesn't work that way. But that's what we want, and that's because we're trying to get the approval, and n not realizing that all we need is our own approval, and all we have to do is give it,
That's why I'm really trying to be aware with the church stuff that there's nobody judging me. There's nobody telling me I'm not doing it right. I may be thinking that someone's doing that, but it's not actually happening. And if it is, hey, you want the job?
There you go. There you go. It takes all the pressure off.
Yeah. But I think that has been a pattern in my life.
Well, we're programmed, we're taught that this is the way it is. And I think, with the family dynamics, like you and I've had very similar family dynamics and even life experiences. But we want to feel like we fit in, and we want to feel like we're accepted. And for years we looked outside of ourselves to get that. But it has to come from within before it can ever come from outside of us. And of course, by the time Michael came along, you were in a whole different place than you were when you were younger. I was going to ask you about the rock I sent you.
It is so beautiful. I have it right here. I mean, that looks just like a real ladybug. How did you do that? Do you have a magnifying glass?
No, I just painted it on there. I drew it with this pencil and painted it on.
It is absolutely stunning.
Well,
I love
thank
it.
you.
I'm afraid to take it out of the thing because I don't want to lose it.
Oh, yeah, because it's pretty small.
I'll figure out a place to display it, but I absolutely love it. And it's life size. That's what's so amazing.
Well, I didn't even think about that it was life size. But the rock, I love the rock. Sometimes you
The
just see them
quartz.
and they got to come home with you. But it has the little crystals in it,
I saw.
little crystals from Arkansas. So I th
Yeah.
magnify some love energy there.
Lack
Anyway.
protection and new beginnings. And I'm wearing
Oh,
the two
cool.
bracelets. So one of the reasons I stopped wearing jewelry is because I have to wear sunscreen. And I wasn't sure it was good for the jewelry. But what I've been doing is wiping them down with a microfiber cloth when I take them off. Could I wash them, or is that not a good idea? Or just a damp cloth?
I think that everything I sent you is fine to wipe off, especially with a damp cloth. You could probably wash them. I don't know. I would be concerned about it push. Well, I had a friend that when she wore them, she never took them off. So she was in the
Sure.
shower, she was in
Shower.
the lake, she never took them off. But it does build up dirt from oils and stuff.
And the
Sometimes that'll
sunscreen will
happen.
make it work, make it happen faster.
With you. You need back over here now? So wiping them off would be fine. I'm sure it'd be fine. And if they ever break or anything, just send back what you have, and I can restring them.
That's true. I have not seen elastic like this before. It's pretty amazing. It's very firm.
It's a thicker elastic, and some of the beads, not very many, but some of them, I can't get it through, but it's not very often that that happens. Because they're that elastic is heavy duty, but and that's why I use the
Little silver.
hollow silver that and that size. I've actually got not these, but I've got one that I used a smaller silver bead, and it was a little difficult to get the knot in there. But if you work at it hard enough, you get it there. But shoving all the glue in there too with that needle glue thing, then you can cut it off really close. So anyway.
Well, I finally took a moment to look at the beads in the necklace because, the beads in the bracelet, the Larimar, was such a beautiful design. And I hadn't realized that there was a design in the necklace. At first, I thought it was just the chip beads, but it's a gorgeous design. I really love it.
Oh, good. I had the ones that were rough, and then I, well, not, they weren't really rough. They were polished, but the different size, kind of like freshwater pearls, and then I had the rounded ones, but I didn't have enough of each one to make the necklace. So, we just went ahead and used them both.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I'm
And
glad you.
I feel the love that went into them.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad that you're enjoying them.
I am.
Good. Good.
Yeah, it's fun to have, they're not solid gold, so they're something I'm afraid to wear out. They're lovely and they have meaning, but they're not priceless. If nobody's going to steal them.
Yeah, there's Yeah, I got a fake ring that is, well, it's, I don't know what kind of stone it is, but it's big that when you first look at it, it looks like a diamond, but it's not. And I've had that thought a time or two wearing it out, so I just wear it around home, but that is something to consider.
Well, I have cruise jewelry or travel jewelry that's fake.
Yeah.
Mean, I still wear my wedding ring, but the flashy stuff is all fake.
Yeah, I get that. Well, okay, so sorry I interrupted how you were telling me about you.
Well, I've done a lot of pondering as I've, done laundry and been cooking and tidying away, and that overthinking and the maladaptive perfectionism, has really been a theme, I think. And I, for my mother, that's what it was. It was seeking approval.
Yeah. Where were you? What, where were you in your life when you realized that you weren't going to get it? Do you remember? And how you dealt with that?
Well, I did. It's just that it wasn't unconditional.
Oh, the approval?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were really proud of me, especially my dad, but and it's been so long. I mean, I was 24 when she died, and I don't really remember. I mean, I guess I part of it is I tried to forget, but I don't remember all the nuances.
You know what I found interesting is, there's so much of like my life that I don't remember, years that I just don't remember. But the pain would still be very painful. I could sure feel that. I couldn't remember what happened, but I could sure feel that and the disappointment and, when we start looking back at, energy that comes up for whatever reason, whether we're, something happens that triggers it. We've got this energy that we're feeling. We know it's more than what just happened because it's m way more than what just happened. And then when we start looking at it, and then we start, it's like the dominoes start to fall, and it goes all the way back to where it was birthed. And then we can see that, wow, I understand why this happened, but it wasn't my fault. It was just an experience. And then being able to see it for what it was. And then we can heal that. We can heal all that
Yeah, the
pain.
idea of collateral damage is just so brilliant.
Yeah. But that, that being collateral damage shapes us.
It does.
You
It does,
know?
but the idea that, oh yeah, I was collateral damage. I didn't bring this on myself. I didn't cause this. It's not my fault.
Right. And now I don't have to carry it anymore.
Yeah.
And being able to look at that and let that, well, you know, everybody says, let it go, let it go, let it go. It's more than letting it go. It's healing that part of us that's been wounded. And there's no scab and there's no scar. You know, we can easily heal
My
it.
counselor wants to do a series of forgiveness therapy for the next 6 weeks.
How does
So
she do that?
I don't know, but I will find out.
Yeah.
She's trained in all these modalities, so I was telling her that so my cousins in Arkansas had a get together. I don't remember what of this I've told you. They cleaned out the old farmhouse where my grandmother grew up, and I guess the barns. Like they found my grandmother's college diploma from 1915,
Oh my gosh.
and all these
College?
pictures.
Her college.
Both my
Wow.
grandmothers went to college, which was very unusual at that time.
Yeah, especially in Arkansas, if that's where they were living. Wow. Okay.
Anyway, they got together, and I've really had a lot of, I joke about some people are easier to love from a distance and some require more distance than others, but I've kind of lumped them all in together. And as I've gotten, done some forgiveness work with my mother, it's like, well, some of them are really nice, but like, there's one that still uses the N-word. So I don't have to be best friends with them, but I also don't need to carry this block around them. I don't have to have that wall. So I think I'm ready to do a little forgiveness work on that.
Awesome. You know, I'm sure I haven't told you this. My grandfather did not, grandma, my grandma, the woman that, you know, was my world, her husband, my grandfather, did not like black people. Now, that's what he would call them. And the reason he told me the reason was when he was in the war, they always knew if they were not going to the front because a black man would be driving their truck because the black people did not fight at the front. I remember thinking, you know who made that decision? It was a white man who decided that they would not be fighting at the front. Why would you be mad and not like a black man because he wasn't fighting at the front? And I got really upset about that. But now I realized that he couldn't think bigger than that. And
And when you're in fear of your life, you don't think logically.
that too. And then well, after Grandpa had passed, was he passed? I don't know if he was or not. Now that I think about it, Jesse and I met in Colorado Springs. We used to go to this little restaurant for breakfast several times a week because they had a special that was $2.95, and Jesse and I would split it. So the whole meal, including tip, was like $6, you know, and it was good. It was Krusty's pancakes, you know. And an egg. And anyway, we met one of the Tuskegee Airmen. His name was Frank Macon, and he loved Jesse to pieces. He was the sweetest guy. He could be a real opinionated guy, but he and sat with this other couple, you know, all the same age, and they just took a liking to Jesse. You know, and so we ended up sitting with them, and like I said, we'd go in there at least 3 times a week, and they were awesome, and he was amazing because, you know, I didn't know even till after we moved away that he was where he what he all that he had done, because then they did a documentary about it. And I saw that. But yeah, he was, the stories he told were amazing. You know, and you felt proud to know somebody who could take something that was so awful and turn and move their life forward without, at least he didn't appear to have the baggage like my grandpa did. You know.
Michael was the funeral officer for one of the Tuskegee Airmen. He was not a pilot, he was one of the mechanics in Arkansas.
Oh.
And it made a huge impression on him, but the man's mother had him come and sit with her and told the story about how her husband had been lynched.
Oh.
And she had to hold her son back from going out after them. You know, that was what he grew up with, watching his father get lynched.
Yeah. Know, you think that we've come a long way, but have we really? You know, I mean, the things that people do and say today on social media that, you know, and people that you know that they'll say things and you'll be like, whoa, where do those thoughts and those feelings come from? You know? Like Fred not being, he wouldn't accept Jesse as gay. And it's like, what is there to accept? I could never grasp that. But it's almost like when I think of him, he's in a box, you know, a
Yeah.
really tight box.
Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, figuratively, but yeah. The
Yeah.
box of his fears.
And where do those come from? Where do they even come from? You know, being able to face those and it, well, first own them. First own them. You know, why do I feel like this? Where does this come from? But to go back to the perfectionism, you know, and feeling that energy and that need. And it does feel like a need. It's a need to do better, to be better, but we did the best we can. And there's nothing, there isn't anything else. All we can do is the
Well,
best
and
we
the military really has an expectation that you can always, you know, it's not good enough. There's no excuse. You know, and there are reasons. You know, there's a difference between a reason and an excuse.
True.
That was something I got pretty hot under the collar about, because there's some real abusive stuff about no excuses. You know, well, sometimes there's a reason, and sometimes it's a safety reason, and you need to address it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that got reinforced in the military, and you know, I looked perfect. You know, I presented. I remember one of my sergeants. I had a headache one day, and I was clearly not myself, and she said, "Thank God you're real." No, because
Because you had a headache.
I wasn't my persona cracked. You know, my little Mary
Oh.
Sunshine persona cracked.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I think that was, yeah, I did something. I think I may have confused the events, but it was like, yeah, I'm real. I guess she just felt like it was something she couldn't live up to. All right. And my mother did that. You know, she really put on this perfection thing. And when I found out after she died that she had smoked as a young woman, I was like, "She's real. I wish I'd known this."
Wow.
Hasn't told us.
Interesting. Changes your perspective, doesn't it?
And it's not good to be perceived as perfect.
No. No. No, because nobody can live up to that. So how are you feeling about you and where you are today and what your life is right now?
Well, I'm wondering if the messiness is the rebellion against the perfection, or if it's just creativity. My father had a lot of things. He, in fact, I probably told you this. His mother wrote my mother when she was engaged, saying, "I should let you know that he is a collector of small things." That letter still exists. He kept that letter.
Collector of small things.
So I guess I came by it honestly, but I also wonder if, it's a rebellion against perfection.
Could be. You know, when because my life, my body was so far out of control, you know, with the Rombergs and everything, and not being able to adjust to heat, because I'd pass out, just stuff, you know.
You think that was part of that syndrome?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, people, a lot of people who have Romberg's die of heart attacks
Wow.
without any kind of, you know,
Warning.
problems, you know, they just die. So it could be, you know, it's the whole system doing what it's hopefully doing what it's supposed to do, but often not. Oh shoot, I lost my train of thought. Imagine
Your
that.
body.
Oh, being so far out of control that I tried to control everything else.
Yes.
Everything else. So I remember when I was living in, and I had purchased this 14 by 70 foot trailer and put it on in my dad's garden. And he came out there when I got it delivered. It was $5,000, Gail. That's what it cost, $5,000. You know? When I had it delivered, he said, "Is this the biggest one you could find?" I was like, "Oh, well, maybe." But anyway, everything had its place and everything was in it. And then I realized what I was doing. And so it started with leaving my shoes out overnight, not putting them away, or leaving a glass on the counter and not washing it and putting it away, leaving it overnight. It was hard to do that. And now, I mean, you know, I've definitely overcome that. But there are times that, well, even when I've, you know, leaving stuff in the sink, I had a real thing about that. Don't leave something in the sink. And the reason Fred and I got into a really big argument one time about something that got left in the sink. But the reason I had that problem was that when I lived in Arkansas, if you left stuff in the sink, spiders would be in there. And if you just, you know, put the plug in and started the water, and then you're washing dishes, and then a wolf spider crawls up your arm, you don't want that to happen. Of course, the
Yeah, and in
chances
some
of,
places it's ants. You don't leave
oh,
dirty dishes out because of ants.
yeah, I hadn't even thought, I never had an ant problem, but the spider thing, that was a real thing. And but here I've done that. I've left stuff in the sink. There's stuff in the sink right now from lunch. I think I did take care of breakfast, but that when I'm busy, I'll just leave it, you know, because I'm by myself. But I don't think that the clutter is a bad thing unless it bothers us. You know, if we start, because you know that it'll start to collect the energy of your stagnant energy,
That's what I have. Yeah.
and clearing that out. And you know, we can have Archangel Michael help us with sucking all that out with his
Vacuum cleaner.
vacuum. We can do that. We can do that. So we have the tools that can maybe just a band-aid on it for this moment, but until we have the time to devote. But with having looked at those things, and how are you feeling with just acknowledging, okay, this is what it is, and where do you want to go from there?
Well, this is what it is. I want to, I want to straighten it out. I want to reduce the overwhelm and the clutter, and it is more than I can, it is clearly more than I can manage. And part of what I part of what has not been so much in the equation is when stuff comes in, stuff has to leave. So I'm, as I see things, it's like, oh yeah, this needs to go. Like this top I'm wearing, it doesn't fit. It's not going to fit. I need to wash it and put it away. It's cool. It's a nice color, but it's too big and I'm not going to tailor it. I'm not going to pay to have it tailored. So it needs to go where someone else can enjoy it. So especially now that I have some new things from Chico's, it makes it easier.
There you go. When we look around at, well, just like, I've been here almost 3 years, 3 years in September, which
Possible?
I can't believe it. And there's stuff I haven't looked at. Do I really need it? Do I really need it?
Well, I've been thinking about the bedroom furniture because you said, a couple years ago, probably, maybe you need to replace the bedroom furniture. There's a gentleman's chest that was Michael's, dresser cupboard drawers that I've been just kind of storing things in, and one of the hinges is messed up, and it's going to take more than the housekeeper tightened the screw, but that's not that didn't take care of it. She said it wasn't going to, so it's either, have the handyman fix it or think about, maybe it is time to bless it and let it go. I've kept it because Michael assembled it. We got new furniture in Virginia, and it was the Danish modern stuff, and he assembled it all. But I think maybe I don't know what I want yet, but maybe I'm at least thinking that it may be time for a change.
Yeah. Well, maybe start looking.
Yeah.
Look at furniture and then maybe something will catch your eye because you don't know what you want yet, but you want something different. You want a different feeling of the energy, a lighter feeling of the energy. And whatever you get, he's gonna love, and
He's
be happy about it. And he would be the first one to want you to let go of things that don't bring you the greatest joy anymore, because that memory is always going to be there in your heart.
I've been thinking, he had stories. That man had stories, and I don't need to carry his stories anymore, especially the painful ones. So that's just something that crossed my mind yesterday that
And
I'm
giving
not.
yourself permission to let those go.
Yeah.
One of the things that Florence talks about is how the subconscious power, it's power without direction. So we want to give, not only give that subconscious power and energy, give it direction in where we want to go and who we want to be, but also give it permission. There are times, we think about, okay, where we are in our lives and the age we are, and how can I be this age because I haven't even decided what I want to do with my life,
Am I going to be when
Yeah,
I grow up?
who am I going to be when I grow up? Well, who do I want to be when I grow up? Now's the time to decide.
Yeah.
How do I want to feel? What do I want my home to look like? What's going to bring me the greatest joy? And is it in things, or is it just, well, this right here, engaging with someone else, I can feel Magic's heartbeat on my leg where he's laying. Is that the joy? Is that the happiness that we're looking for?
Yeah.
What is it? What's it look like? Because now we can focus on what do we want? What's the most important thing? Everything we do, every decision we make is about how we're going to feel once we've made the decision, once we've had the experience. How are we going to feel? Are we going to feel happy? Are we going to be relieved? I mean, ultimately, we want to feel happy. We want to feel joy. It's like, Mary got a new car. She didn't get a new house, so she got a new car. So she's happy with that. That's great. Where does our happiness lie?
And I had another blinding flash of the obvious that I have been so busy with the urgent that I have not taken care of the important.
Yeah.
And it's the urgent stuff that I need to clear out. All that stuff that's claiming my attention that isn't as important as the things that I'm not doing.
Yeah, and is it, why is it urgent? Is it your idea of urgent, or is it somebody else's idea of urgent, or is it our feeling of urgency because of somebody else, but they really don't care?
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack. Some of all of the above.
So where
A
do we
lot of it's
kind of,
self-imposed.
yes. And once we realize that, then we can change that. And
And
with
then
that,
that means letting go of some of your self-identity.
yeah.
As the person who's thoughtful, as the person who does, sends all the cards, or the person who, is always there for others, but not herself, maybe.
Yeah. When I, in the beginning years of my business, I checked email 100 times a day. And man, if somebody sent me an email, I responded right then, right there. Didn't matter what else I was doing. I responded to that email because that was the most important thing. And that was self-imposed. Totally self-imposed. Except that part of that perfectionism. You got an email, you got to respond. It's all a subconscious program that's going on. So what really does matter? What is the most important thing that I can do today? And it's nothing outside of ourselves. The most important thing that we can do every day is exist in a higher vibration of love. That is the most important thing, because that is what manifests the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, is what emotion I'm holding right now. And if I'm worried and I'm anxious, that's what the next moment's going to be. And you mentioned that your therapist is wanting to do the forgiveness. Do you feel like you're holding a lot of unforgiveness?
I'm holding blocks against the energy of feelings. I've got feelings walled off, and that takes energy. So I don't know if forgiveness is really what I want, but I want to release the blocks I have around my brother. I want to release the blocks I have around my Arkansas family, just because it takes energy and it's not helpful.
Right. Okay. And observing that energy is the biggest step. So in whatever she's going to guide you through to do that, should well, in theory, be quite smooth, really, because you've been working on it a long time, you're ready, and they can't hurt you anymore. Those days are over. They don't get to control how you feel.
And that's pretty mind-boggling because they did. The older cousins teased, my brother teased. I think some of it I might have picked up from my mother. She was so determined that we were not going to be stuck in the poverty that she grew up in. And the whole Southern thing just seemed to me so backwards and kind of cruel and not what I, not what I wanted, what I didn't want. And so I kind of lumped it all together. My grandmother, the their well had a lot of iron in it, so all of their porcelain sinks had iron stains. And the water didn't taste good, and there was no air conditioning, and there were chiggers, and
Oh, I hate chiggers. If I was gonna hate something, it'd definitely be chiggers.
I
Definitely.
wasn't used to those crowds, and they all knew each other, and I was, we were kind of the outsider because we didn't live there like all the other ones did. So when we went, it was a big deal.
Did you feel like when they interacted with you that it was like there was a spotlight on you and everybody's looking at you? Did you ever feel
Well,
like that?
they teased Yankee, and I was like, no, we're from the West, that we weren't involved in the Civil War. But Michael said that my family were carpetbaggers, and I didn't. I mean, that was mind-boggling because they were so proud of being Southerners. But he said, yeah, they went down in the 1880s. That they were still carpetbaggers. And I thought, whoa. But he said Arkansas wasn't really considered part of the South anyway, but
No,
he's
no.
from Virginia.
But
He grew up in Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy. So, yeah.
it's still the small-minded thinking.
And, literal rednecks, because my uncles were all farmers.
It's a when you think back about all those things, it's like the brain just doesn't even want to take some of it in. I remember
And my
standing.
Oregon family was so wonderful.
And that was your dad's family. And where did you guys live?
Oh, we moved. So I was born in Portland. We moved to California when I was, I guess, around two. We moved to Minnesota. My dad moved corporate. So we moved to Minnesota when I was three, and then back to Portland when I was eight. And then when I was a freshman in high school, he got transferred to Indianapolis to the Eli Lilly home office. And so I finished high school, went to college there, met my first husband at the University of Edinburgh in summer school, finished my senior year, did my student teaching, and then moved to Missouri, and then joined the Army, and got my first station was California. And then I was able to get stationed here in Vancouver, so I was real near the family. And then I went to Fort Lewis, and then went to the Pentagon, and then came back here. So back and forth a lot.
So
But
when did you?
this has been home.
Okay. When were you visiting family in Arkansas?
When we lived in Minnesota and Indiana.
So it was as a child.
I've been back a couple times for weddings, just, for a weekend or so. But the last time I saw the family was in Kansas City when my uncle died, and my sister and I were traveling through, and it happened to be the weekend of his funeral, and a lot of the cousins were there, so we went out to dinner with them. And those cousins were, were really nice.
Oh.
The redneck, the really redneck ones weren't there.
Well, there you go. There you go.
But my mother was the oldest of 10, so there were, I think, 24 of us cut of her grandchildren. So you're gonna find a variety among that
Yeah.
group.
Yeah. So when you would visit the folks in Arkansas, did you find yourself wishing that you weren't there, feeling like you were just not, it just wasn't working?
Yeah, I was pretty miserable.
But knowing that you were gonna leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
St. Louis was bad enough besides the weather, but what was funny was there was a major personnel center in St. Louis, and I always expected that I would go there. And then there was the next headquarters was Atlanta, and I managed to skip both of those and go straight to the Pentagon. So that was really fortunate that we didn't have to go to either one of those places.
Wow. So you've lived all over the US. I mean,
Well,
from coast to coast, not in
coast to
all the
coast.
states, but from coast to coast.
Yeah. Not the Northeast or the South, thankfully. But, went temporary duty to bases in the South, and it was like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Mainly the weather. I do not do heat. Fort Leavenworth, Kansas was bad enough in July.
Yeah,
That was
yeah.
a 9 week, that was a 9 week class.
Did they have AC? Thank
But
goodness.
it was like a good 5 minute walk to class, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to think with the heat index, what it's been this week, what July is going to be like. Hopefully we'll get a reprieve, but who knows?
Yeah, my sister was saying it's bad all week, and she goes to yoga, she goes to the pool, she goes it's an indoor swimming pool, and then she stays home. It's like, smart.
Yeah. I don't know how people who work outside, I don't know how they do it. I know my body wouldn't be able to do that.
No.
Okay, so how are you feeling about where you are right now with everything?
Under the circumstances, I think I'm doing really well.
Okay. So you've got some things that are coming up with the looking at forgiveness and moving through that. And if anything comes up that you need to talk about that comes up from those sessions, don't hesitate to reach out.
Okay.
The more you can infuse those sessions with love energy before you go, and being really gentle with yourself, drinking lots of water, because it's probably going to bring up things that you haven't thought about in years. Didn't even know it
Yes.
was buried there. Depending on what kind of modality she's going to use, it may be one of those things that you don't have to feel everything, and then she just works with you to move the energy out, which would be awesome. But you've done so much work, and you're in such a more calm and peaceful place now than you were before, that everything
I
should
was
flow.
surprised when the feelings about my cousins came up, and I actually thought, yeah, maybe I want to get rid of this too.
Yeah, anything that holds any kind of emotional charge that's uncomfortable is gonna have to go. We
Yeah.
can't take it with us into the future that we're creating for ourselves right now with the energy that's coming into our planet. It just won't support it. It separate it's it does one of those us and them,
Yeah.
where we're still holding on to stuff that we didn't even know we were holding on to. And then those who've let it go, they're moving on, you know, without us. And we want to
Yeah.
go too. You know, sometimes with living where I do, being in this kind of bubble of, you know, I get to interact with people like you, and you know, more people, meeting more people of like mind, it gives such hope of the promise of the better. You know, the peace, the joy, it's actually going to happen. But let's feel it now. You know, we're preparing that space. I don't know if you've seen the email I announced this morning for the spiritual awakening to your empowerment class
I
or
saw the email, but I
course.
didn't open it.
I'm really excited about that and how that's gonna what shifts that's gonna hold. You know, holding that energy. I'm really excited about that, the people that will come for that. But we're all going through it. You know, nobody's getting to opt out. I think the more we understand, the easier we can make it for ourselves.
Yeah.
So was there anything? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do we want to keep meeting on Thursday then?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that. We can if that's what you want to do.
Well, you said you the 10th I've got a doctor's appointment. But you said you didn't like to work on Monday.
I don't mind working with you on Monday. I wouldn't do appointments with just anybody. But you're always such a treat.
The
So
only thing
quiet.
is that that's before my therapy session, so Thursdays are after. But
Oh, okay.
let's
Well, do you want to go meet next week on Thursday?
yeah, let maybe take it week by week, but
Yeah, we can do
yeah,
that.
the next Thursday would be good.
Okay. That's and at the same time?
Yes, 10:30 works well. Does that work well for you?
Yeah, it's fine. Got you down. Okay, and then next Thursday we'll look at the next week. You've got an appointment on Thursday, so
Yeah.
we may schedule another day, whatever works.
Or the after or another time that day, but
Yeah, or we can do that. Okay, awesome.
otherwise my Thursdays look good in July.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Well, 4th of July is coming up.
Yeah. Man, what happened to the first of the year? We blinked and it was gone.
Year's half over almost. My gosh.
Yeah.
I'm still having to remember it's 2025.
Oh my gosh. I was writing something while in my I don't remember what I was doing, but I was writing something and I thought, it's not 26, is it? I mean, I thought that. No, it's gotta still be 25. Oh man. Okay. Yeah, it's really still 2025. It just blows my mind that I can't keep track of the years, you know? But
Somebody sacked out there.
yeah. Yeah, he is. He looks like he's got bedhead all the time now. That's okay. Bedhead is good. He goes to the
Yeah.
groomer next week. Yeah, next week.
Yeah, mine have a haircut in 2 weeks, so they're as fluffy as they get.
Yeah.
And it's just adorable.
Yeah.
Little
Wow.
teddy bears. Yeah.
Well, was there anything else that's come up for you or anything that you
I
we need
don't
to go
think
over?
so.
Okay.
So I will see you next Wednesday. Or is that a fifth? No, next Wednesday is the first. It's the second.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess it is. This weekend is the last of the month. But July does have 5 Wednesdays in
Right.
it. Yeah. Okay. Wow. All righty then. Okay, well, we'll go
Okay.
ahead and complete and send you a little heart. I got a dog on my lap, dog on my arm. So, oh my gosh, I was out with him day before yesterday, and I picked him up, and I got bit by something. That's what I don't know what he picks up off the ground, but there's a critter, and it bit me, and I was putting some medicine on it when Landon called me last night, and so I was doing that, and he goes. I said, something bit me. He goes, well, what was it? I said, well, I don't know. And so he thought about it. It was a snake. And I was like, no, it definitely was not a snake. And then he started telling me about how red ants bite and you have to stay away from them. And he had to save his own life to get away from a red ant. I'm so relieved you were able to get away from it. But man, the critters that'll just bite there's too many of them.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well,
All
sending
right.
you lots of love. Have a lovely afternoon, and I'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. Take care, Kate. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.